generations of children. We're going to conclude today our series. Well, I guess we're going to kind of conclude because I think Jason is going to speak next weekend. I'm going to be gone to the Rimmel Church of Christ next week to speak to them, and I'm excited about it. I've never spoken in a Church of Christ, so y'all help me that I'll behave, and I won't ask where the piano is or anything like that. You know, I'm not used to, I'm used to our kind of stuff, and they're a little bit different, but they're very progressive Church of Christ, and they're going to start a Celebrate Recovery, and they want to hear from a pastor's standpoint of what that does to your church. It will mess you up. Okay, in a good way, in a good way. I'm excited about, Jason said they had about 200 people here Friday night. He fixed 100 and something hamburgers and hot dogs, and they ate every one of them. And, you know, God's up to something in the area of people recovering from their addictions, no matter what those addictions are. And I'm so glad that as a church, we get to be a part of that. And the giving that you do on Sunday morning pays for what happens here on Friday night. And that's give yourself a good hand clap. Celebrate Recovery does not pay for it. There's not anything that we do in this church that pays for itself. It all happens on Sunday morning as we pass those buckets. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being faithful. You did a fantastic job this last year. We're looking for an even greater year this year as we reach out and minister to folks. You know, it says in Romans that Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And we know that that word salvation is not limited to forgiveness of sins. In fact, it's the Greek word sozo, which encompasses the whole man, our spiritual man, our mental, emotional man, and also our physical man. God is a healer of our spirits, of our souls, and of our bodies. He is a miraculous God. And so this gospel encompasses any kind of need that a person could have in their life. And so we're celebrating that. We've been talking about dealing with temptation, how Jesus dealt with temptation. Anytime the devil came at him in the wilderness and tempted him, he didn't tell him who he was. He says, amen. He said, it is written. It is written. He said that on three occasions. And we've looked at the power of the Word of God to transform a human life. And how many of you know who this girl is? This is Paige Osborne Hubbard, and we're glad that she's sharing. How many years have you been a part of our church?
8 or 9 years.
10
maybe.
Tell us a little bit about, she's going to talk about how the Word has helped her in her life. I know she has shared with me part of her testimony when she first came here. So talk about that a little bit, where you were at, some physical things that were going on, and just kind of share about that.
I had just been through a lot of stuff, it started to affect me physically. I started having lots of different symptoms that someone in their 20s shouldn't have. I was having heart palpitations and just exhaustion, and I'm talking extreme physical exhaustion. Like, I couldn't drive more than like 10 minutes from my house. I just couldn't stand to be out. I was having like diabetic symptoms, lots of just terrible aches and pains, and so.
And you were working where at this time?
I was working at Pediatric Day Clinic.
And there was a fellow there that worked there?
There was.
And his name was?
Was Chris Insel.
Chris Insel. Does anybody remember Chris Insel? Okay. Tell us a little bit about that. What happened there?
Well, actually, I started coming here for Camden, for Awana's. He was kind of going to Awana's at another church, and it wasn't a church that I felt comfortable going and sitting in, and I wasn't going to go just drop him off. So Chris said, hey, you could bring him to Awana's at our church, and so I did. And I thought, well, I'll just sit here and listen. I remember the very first time I came, Miss Claudine came and gave us can't mint. I drug a friend from work with me. And so, I had grown up in church, but I didn't understand the word, and I didn't have a true relationship with God, and had a lot of questions. Things happen in life, and you're like, how does that happen if there's a God? And so bring him for Awana's, and I come and sit, and you spoke something, and I thought, oh, that's an answer to one of those questions that I've always had. And so I learned, one of the very first things that I learned was John 10:10, that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he came to give us life. Because I didn't understand why bad things happened. And I in my mind had imagined that God was picking us off. Like, not you. And so then that was a big light bulb for me. Like, oh, it's not God picking us off. It's the enemy. That's his, that's what his goal is to do, is to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah, he does that, and he stands back and accuses God.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people buy into that, and they wind up being angry at God because they think God's their problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, John 10:10 is a huge verse of Scripture. It answers so many questions about so many things in life.
Mm-hmm.
And if we get that in our hearts, it'll do that. See, it's amazing what one verse of Scripture can do.
It changed my whole life.
Yeah.
I mean, it truly did. It, because I was almost afraid of God, like, please don't pick me off or my family, none of us. And what can we do to make that happen? And so make that not happen.
Okay. So you came into church, mm-hmm. and you began to grow.
Yeah, started coming on Wednesdays. I was still going to my home church. I was raised Methodist, and so I was still going to...
Me too.
Yeah. So I was still going, that was my church. I've been Methodist my whole life. But I just kept learning more truth, and I'd learn another scripture, and I'd be like, oh, I've got to see what this guy says on Sunday. If this is good, on Wednesday night, then I want to come on a Sunday. And so I remember, skipping, and I never went back to my other church.
Uh-oh.
I can remember calling my preacher at the time and saying, I'm going to have to...
Were you overwhelmed when you first started coming about the music and all of that? Was that
yes,
a little overcoming?
Much different.
I remember the way I was raised Methodist, and we were hymns and
very
and,
traditional.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But when you come into this kind of church, it's, you get bug eyed. Say, what in the world? And you got somebody back there hooping and hollering. And you're like, what in the world is what's up with that?
Every time that a question like that would come into my mind, like, that cannot be good. That they do that. It's kind of, and different things. Every time that a question would come into my mind, you would preach on it that next time. And I think I even asked Chris, I was like, are you telling him everything that I'm asking you? I really thought that. I was like.
But, that just shows you the Word of God is alive.
Mm-hmm.
It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12. And it penetrates to the heart, and it makes a preacher look a whole lot smarter than he really is. I guarantee you, because he was not telling me. The Holy Spirit was drawing out what needed to be said.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that we believe in every service, that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to people wherever they're at. And it may not be something that I say, but something I say may trigger something that the Holy Spirit will say to you. And that's why we always need to have open hearts when we're in a service, because God wants to talk to us. God, mm-hmm. Can I just tell you, your Father God is madly in love with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And don't let the fact that your life may be out of control or bad things are happening, that it has anything to do with God not loving you, because He is madly in love with you, wants to reveal Himself to you. He wants to do a work of grace in your life. And that's so, so good. So you've been here 9 years,
mm-hmm.
long time. Mm-hmm. You were single when you came here.
I was.
Yeah, you and Camden. And mm-hmm. Camden was what? He was about six?
Yeah.
Six, mm-hmm. So we got to see Camden grow. I remember Camden, first time he went to church camp. Camden was a little backwards about some things in the early days. And we were concerned that he would participate. And, you know, there's a few things that he balked about sometimes. But we saw him grow and become a fine, fine young man. So some point, you began to date this guy that I didn't like much.
No, you didn't.
He was not where he should have been spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible tells us not to be unequally yoked, so mm-hmm. I hammered her with that, and she didn't listen. And but Wes started coming, and I love Wes now, but I mean I didn't dislike him then. I just I try to protect my flock, and I'm saying, okay, Paige, I don't want you hurt again, because you've already been hurt once. But he came and got his little self right with God, and has made a good husband, and was a good father to Camden. And then you've had little Lila, and what a
yes.
blessing little Lila has been. But October the 26th
mm-hmm.
was very much a life-changing day for you and your whole family. I remember that day you went with Kathy, my wife. Y'all took Lila yeah. and Jalen to, where was it, y'all?
The pumpkin patch.
Yeah. Okay. And so kind of take the story and share it. If you cry, it's okay.
Can you tell about that day or just that moment?
Sure. Whatever.
Kathy and I got to talk a lot on that drive to the middle of nowhere and back. And talked a lot about, your first child, first grandchild. And Cam was all of that to both sides of his family. He was the, neat that we got to share that. Anyway, then got home and late that night got a call, went to the hospital.
Camden was in a wreck.
Mm-hmm. And got the, some of the worst news that parents can get. They told us that Camden didn't make it. And so Brother David had been, for years, I guess the last few years, has been talking to us about being in the Word and studying the Word. And the Bible tells us that it will come to us. So there were lots of things that that we read that maybe we don't even realize that we've taken in. And so in that moment, a spiritual battle in my head, because I knew that the Word says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. And from the moment I learned that, I knew that I would stand on that if and when I needed to. And so my first thought was, that's what I'll do. I'll go to Him. There's a story in the Bible of Elisha the prophet, and he goes to this child, and he lays on him, and he his face to his face, and he breathes the breath of life back into that child. And when I heard that story, I thought, if I ever need to, that's what I'll do. Because that's still true. Still true today. But then, and there was lots of back and forth, but what if? What if you bring him back? Is there any guarantee that he's going to be okay? Well, we'll make it through because we know suffering happens. We know that people get cancer and there is suffering, but there is healing. So we'll make it through that. Then I thought about, we know that to be in the presence, and his, it was instant. So I know that he went straight from this world to perfect peace. And so I was going to have to take him out of that and bring him here to some unknowns. And I thought about the story in the Bible of the two women who, a woman, her baby had died in the night. And so she got up early the next morning and she buried it and she stole a friend's baby. And so they ended up in court because, you know, there's two moms saying, no, this is my baby. No, it's mine. And he says, well, King Solomon, he says, well, I'll solve this. We'll just cut it in half. And the mother, the real mother said, no, she can have him. And so all this is playing out in my head. And I thought about the love of a mom. So it's sacrificial, and that if I truly loved him, that I wouldn't pull him out of that peace just for me and just for us that were hurting, that he was already where we're all trying to get in the first place. And so why would I take him out of that? And so from that moment, I said, okay, let's start. I guess I kind of felt like, let's start this journey. And so I went.
I got there about the time that her mom and dad got there. And there was something supernatural that came over her in that moment. And I saw her tell her mom and dad. I saw her go to the other families. There was another young man that was killed that she went. I went with her. I just followed her around. My bulldog, you know, I'm taking care of her, you know. So she went to and pulled the other family away and talked to them. She went, the young man was badly, badly injured who did survive. And she went and talked to that family. Even the family of the young man that was driving, she went to them and talked to them. And that's nothing more than the grace and the strength that God gives. I think about a scripture that talks about Paul's thorn. And God told him something. You know, Paul was struggling with a thorn. We don't know what it was. We know it was from the devil. We just know that's what it was. And Paul kept saying, God, get this thing off of me. And God said, listen, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so the lesson here is that when we are at our weakest, then God's power can take over and make us strong. And we can overcome by his strength. So I kind of saw that's what happened that night. Now, this has not been a easy journey. You've had to put your life back together. Your life is forever changed. Mm-hmm. But does that affect the word? Talk to us.
No, and I think that's when you were talking last Sunday, I felt God saying, you have to tell people. Because, you know, when we hear of something tragic happening, especially to a Christian who knows the word and who speaks the truth, before all this, my mind thought, what do they feel right now? What do they think now? Do they believe it? Do they feel differently? And I've never had the courage to ask anyone, but I've wondered that through the years. What do they think? And do they still believe what they believed before and what they spoke before? And so it was important for me to share that word is still true. And there may be an instance where somebody is able to do that. I just know for me, it changed. And I think an aha moment for me was that I wanted him to be here. And I stood on those words out of fear. And then it was in that moment, it was more than just about me and my fear of I couldn't make it without my child. Please understand that I still believe those words are still true and that there may be an opportunity where someone needs to stand on that.
All right, let's talk a little bit about your journey since the funeral. Does the word still work?
Mm-hmm.
Does it? I know grief is a very, very real thing. But does the word, I see people who grieve as if they have no hope.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the situation that we're in here at all. And it still hurts. You still cry.
Yeah.
You still have those days. But our hope sustains us.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, I hope Cam got to see this service today. I hope he got to see his mama sharing this word. And he wouldn't come back if he could.
Mm-mm.
He just wouldn't. And sometimes it's hard for us to reconcile those things in our minds. And it does raise questions. But I see people who even claim to be Christian, but they really don't have, they have not put the word in them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard with the word, okay? My friend Tom Underhill, and Susan was here for our ladies' conference. My friend Tom Underhill lost his grandson and Susan her son. And it's been a struggle for all of them, and they're people of the word. But they have the word, and the word makes the difference. It has not paralyzed them. It has not stopped them from ministry. It has not stopped them proclaiming the word. If anything, they have a greater resolve to preach and teach the word and stand for the things. She's doing everything to keep her child's memory alive. Can I just say to the church body, don't be afraid to talk about Camden. Don't be afraid to talk about Garrett. Don't be afraid to talk about Johnny, the ones that we've lost this year. Don't be afraid, because I think one of the greatest fears that a parent has is that their child will be forgotten. And that don't need to happen, okay? So it's good that we can talk about the thing. It may make her cry, but it'll comfort her heart too.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be afraid to talk about that. I know people. A lot of people have said, Paige is so strong. And How do you respond to that?
That it's God in me. Yeah. It's not me.
Because you feel weak sometimes. Mm-hmm. You feel like you don't want to be strong
right.
sometimes.
Right.
You feel like you just want to melt away. And I mean, those are normal human feelings mm-hmm. that we have. But the difference is the Word of God that's in our heart. So we believe in the Word that heals. We believe in the Word that saves. We believe in the Word that restores. But it's also the Word that brings comfort to our hearts. Thank God for the hope that we have. I look at this world and I'm thinking, this world looks hopeless. And it is. Okay? Yeah. It's going to come to chaos.
And that, can I say that's one thing
sure.
that I choose? Because there's, you know, lots of people will share or come up with things that I'm going to miss out on, that I won't see him graduate or that... But, you know, I've prayed for protection around my child for as long as I knew what that meant. And he's protected. And he's in the safest place. How can I not find comfort in that? This world is so messed up. You know, we think about the things to come. And he doesn't have to experience any of that. So I choose to think on those things. The things that he's missing out on. Missing out on in a good way.
Yeah. I mean,
thankful.
Who knows, in a few years we may
wars,
be in a war
right.
and all of our children will be called to that. And we don't have to worry about that with him.
Mm-mm.
And our hope that we have, I mean, all of us have been to the grave. Every one of us have been to the grave of a loved one. And knowing that they knew Christ, that we, if we know Christ, that we'll see that loved one again. And that should just minister lots of strength to us. It will help make the difference in your life. You don't have to let this put you it doesn't have to destroy your life. And I see people whose lives are destroyed. We started, a couple months ago, we started a grief support group in our church. And we talk about it some. We don't talk about it a lot. We're trying to get it on its feet so that we can feel comfortable in doing that. And we're seeing God begin to bring in some folks that have really, really dealt with some tragedy lately. And it's just, I think it's going to be another avenue that we can minister to people who are going through something very difficult. I'm a 1-2-3 fix it guy. You don't do that with grief. You have to walk through it. And the thing in your heart that grief is something that's very individual, that people grieve in different ways, but it's the same Word of God that's living that in a person's heart that will sustain a person if we'll go to that Word. And so when that overwhelming urge comes to, oh, I just want to die. Okay? That's not an option. The option is we have to live. I mean, so that Word will speak to you in those weak moments. Isn't that good? Amen? I know this has been a hard day and lots of tears, but that's okay. That's okay. You don't say anything before we quit?
You put me on the spot. I feel like now I need to say something.
Yeah, say something. One courage.
What would I say? Can I share something that
sure.
I shared at camp service that... Something that started to bother me the most was realizing, you know, I was very hard on him. I wanted him to, you know, most importantly, to have God in his life. Because I was very hard on him, and he would do things, and I would think, oh, what is that? You know, what is he thinking? I completely messed up. And in the days after, we had people come to us just student after student, his friends come to us and tell us about his heart and about the things that he had done and how he'd been Jesus to people. And how wonderful that was. But immediately the enemy came to me and said, "You didn't even know your own son." And immediately after that, God said, "That wasn't your job. You weren't supposed to be his friend. You were supposed to be his parent so that he could be that friend."
That's really good.
So what, just one of the many ways that God has spoken to me when the enemy has tried to come and hurt me more, that God has stepped in and said, "Mm-mm."
We had the privilege of, and Batesville School was amazing during all of this. The family came in and said, and some of the students that wanted to, they skipped class and would come in, and they were having they needed to vent. They needed to talk. And they told Cam stories and Will stories. And Coach Stu Smith kind of led that thing. And it was just an amazing time that I didn't know Cam either. Yeah. You know, I was his pastor. And I'm like, okay, I didn't know that about him.
Sat over there and clicked my key. Yeah. He clicked my key every
Yeah.
night.
So, I mean, there's just things that we don't see and don't know. Our job is to sow the seed mm-hmm. in their hearts. Our job is mm-hmm. to raise them the way that they should go. Mm-hmm. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to do the work in their hearts and to see the fruit in that. Amen. Well, you're a courageous lady for getting up here and sharing this. And I know, mm-hmm. I know it was hard. Can we give her a good hand? Amen. Made us cry again. Have a seat. We're going to worship. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come and